Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Fiction, science fiction, horror, fantasy, crime, LGBT, thriller.
You have now entered the House of Mystery with your hosts, Eric Shapiro, David North Martino, John Copenhaver, and Al Warren.
Heard on KCBQ 106.5 FM Los Angeles,
102.3 FM Riverside,
and 1050 AM Palm Springs.
We are back in the House of Mystery, and joining me today, I've got David North Martino, the virgin, and
hey, Al.
He's coming along nicely. He's coming along nicely. And today we've got our guest is he's kind of a horror author, I guess. I don't know. Ian Kadena. Isn't that how
you say it? Kadena, yes. I'm not a virgin. And and I'm only a horror to my family and my husband.
Well, yeah, well, that's all that matters. So it all started for you when you were a kid, right?
Being a horror.
No, I mean, like I see that. I read your bio, and I'm just thinking that okay, so now you are. It says that you were focused on writing, and giving. Stories that you would play out with your action figures later.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
So, where do you think that comes from? Like, is that kind of something your parents did or what?
No, not that. My mom's an avid reader. So actually my dad is too. Just read totally different genres. My mom's and mine kind of fall in the same area. She likes sci-fi and scary stuff too. So my dad, you know, more like, you know, you read stuff about golf or, you know, somebody's baseball, you know, memoir or something like that. But just as a kid, I couldn't stand it when my friends would like mix their toys. Like, you know, they have their Masters of the Universe toys along with their G.I. Joe toys and their Star Wars toys. And they would, you know, have them interacting. And I'm like, that doesn't make any sense. Like, no, I think I invented the first crossover as a kid. Cause I said, okay, like, you know, all right. So like maybe, you know, the, you know, Skeletor cast this portal spell and he crosses over and okay, now they can interact with like your G.I. Joe toys and that kind of stuff. Cause they come into that universe and, you know, and my friends are looking at me like, what the hell are you, what's wrong with you? You know, like I'm crazy, like, you know, whatever. So,
did you drink as a kid or something?
Yeah. No, it probably sounds like I did, although, you know, I did have a nickname in high school. They used to call me Sid because they were convinced I was on acid, and I've never done drugs just because, yeah. So I would, you know, I had to have a plot or something for my action figures and for my toys, you know. So I would, when I was at school, you know, I'd sit there and so I was taking notes. I was writing out, you know, storylines and plots and script stuff for, you know, like my G.I. Joe toys. And then I'd come home and I'd act them out. And I even heard my brother telling one of his friends one day, like, you know, yeah, he actually writes this stuff out. Like, you know, like I was crazy. So I've always written. And, then of course I ended up getting to Dungeons and Dragons and, you know, there's all kinds of story stuff you can do with that. And I would be the dungeon master, which, you know, somebody told me sound like really perverted, once. And,
well, it depends on, you know,
one of these Facebook group, one of the person's comment, like, oh, I thought you were talking about like S&M stuff. And I was
wrong group.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah,
I look at this, right, and I see this, okay, so you have this great imagination, and you're focused on this, and I did the same thing, sort of, not to the extent of you did, because I didn't really care about what other kids did with their toys, right? I really didn't. I was sort of, I was really...
Well, you were more tolerant than me, obviously.
And no, actually, no, because I think a lot of them didn't like me. I mean, I was an autistic kid, and in the 60s, that's like, I was a weirdo. Okay.
Gotcha.
So I was quiet and I hung out with my dogs and my own toys and whatever.
Sure.
It didn't matter to me is what I'm saying. But with that imagination you have, and then you go into Dungeons and Dragons, so you're creating that story. You're creating who the characters are, what they all. So I get all that part. But it also says in your bio that you sort of didn't focus on school. You weren't paying attention to the teacher. You were focusing on your fantasies sort of world.
Right.
Which is good. I mean, that's great. That's creativity. But when you start writing as an adult, a little later in life, didn't you feel like you missed a lot of the grammar or structure or some of the education that you thought you needed? And I ask that only because I feel this way. Like I've gone back and learned things myself. Because I didn't get what I should have. And I don't blame that on teachers. I'm blaming it on me. But with that came a lot of time when I didn't feel very confident putting out work and sending it to publishers or people. There was this lack of confidence. So didn't you get that same feeling then?
No, I mean, I did well in school, and that not initially, like in elementary, I, you know, thought I was stupid. So anyhow, but when I actually got into college, I really enjoyed college, and then that's I also ended up taking a bunch of English courses for fun. I mean, I was my major was theater, and then I had to pick a minor like at the last minute, and I had all these English courses and stuff. And so I was like, oh, when I was looking at the criteria and so forth, and writing seemed to, I could either like maybe just two different courses, and I could either got an English minor or writing minor. And I said, I want to do writing because that's what I've actually kind of done. So, and I took some really great classes and, you know, learned a lot about, you know, writing stuff through that too. And so I felt pretty good about that part. And so I don't think I really missed out on any of that as far as the education part of it. It's just, you know, during elementary and junior high, I just really didn't care about my studies, and I wanted to, focus on my toys.
Well, yeah, you know, I mean, I went into the theater as well in college. I relate to that. But we shared our main foyer with the music department as well in college.
Mm, mm-hmm.
And there was a really hot guy there, so I transferred into the music program.
Why not? Of course, absolutely.
It sounds crazy now, but I ended up
getting my master's. I would have done that too if I had known.
Yeah, I went right through with it, actually. I didn't get lucky with that one, but I did go through and get my master's, so it was it was a good move, and it really clicked with me. The music department was incredible. And that was one of the best times in my life. But when you leave after doing theater and stuff, what was the fire or the click or the hunger, or what was it that you decided, you know what, I'm going to write a book and I'm going to put it out? Like caused that?
You know, I think what caused that was that I actually tried to, you know, I went out to California and tried to pursue the whole acting business. And obviously, you see how well that went over. And, you know, I was actually turned off a bit by a lot of the stuff I saw when I was because I was an extra in a bunch of stuff and on set for you know, as an extra. And so I got to see a lot of stuff up front. And, you know, of course, you could make the argument about doing theater as opposed to film. But in any case, I ended up, you know, having to move back and So I just, you know, was like, you know, what am I going to do to, you know, get my creativity out? Because, you know, I wasn't sure about joining the local theater and that kind of stuff. And I just wasn't singing to me. And then I guess, I don't know exactly how it started that I decided I needed to start writing. And I guess, you know, also at that time I got, you know, I had figured out I was gay after I had moved back from, you know, California and all that. And so I had,
well, that's a bit late.
I know. Had I known in college, gee whiz, I mean, I could have,
yeah.
Oh, all the scenarios. Anywho, I could go on about that. All these missed opportunities are practically in my face, literally. With some really hot guys. I have a dozen of those stories. Like, what were you thinking? Like, always like McFly.
You should be writing those stories under a different pen name.
Well, yeah, I wrote a blog post about that, but I should have definitely. Yeah, I probably put it in one of my books, The Hard Boys. Those guys are, you know, always those guys are, yeah, pornographic. So, yeah, so I don't know exactly, but yeah, I decided I was going to write, I guess, a story about me coming out, and so I tried to do a memoir, I suppose, or an autobiography, or what have you, and so I did end up getting an agent out in New York at the time, and that was, you know, had a book proposal and all that stuff that I put together, and they were passing it around to, you know, Random House, and I was getting, they were showing me, sending me back my rejection, their rejection letters they were getting from my, you know, and yeah. I was actually thrilled, like, oh my god, you know, Random House looked at my stuff, and you know, even though they rejected it, I was just thrilled that they saw it. So
yeah, I don't know, they burned it, but
yeah, but you know, eventually, of course, that agent, you know, well, they couldn't, you know, get me sold or anything, so you know, because who the heck is he, and nobody knows who he is, so they ended up dumping me, which was fine. I just, you know, was like, well, I really want to do fiction anyway, you know, and so yeah, I couldn't tell you specifically what made that click. It's been so long now that I ended up doing it and decided I was going to work on that. So,
Well, it seems like, okay, so now you've gone into this, I guess, what do you like to be called? Is it science fiction? Is it horror, fantasy? Like, where do you like to put yourself?
You know, fantasy is pretty close to what I do. When I hear fantasy, I always think like, you know, sword and sorcery stuff. Right. That's more like Tolkien kind of setting, or, you know, like some kind of Middle Earth kind of thing. And I don't really write that. So it's kind of paranormal, where I got supernatural stuff. And so I guess the best term is like urban fantasy, because I guess that's where you have like kind of that kind of magic, but set in real world. So I always kind of say also maybe Harry Potter meets the X-Files, because I just kind of like the supernatural stuff, and but I don't always put it in a medieval kind of setting, although in my, or like I should say, a Tolkien-ish kind of setting, because in my Nexus series, there's two timelines going on. One of them is a medieval times, and so there is that.
But I wonder, so this is the tough question for you here.
Sure.
Now, okay. when you get into this area of writing, and you say supernatural, paranormal sort of thing. So, and I understand this. So you had your own experiences with this, and you're into the tarot, the out of body experiences, all this sort of
stuff. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So yeah, but, yeah, well, I'm on it, man. But so when you yourself have these personal experiences, and mm-hmm. I understand this, but so when you have these, what gives you the courage to actually expose that in your writing? Because I know all writers do this. All writers have to. If you write something that's good, it's because there's something real in it. There's something touching. There's something that people relate to because it is real. So when you put yourself out there with these experiences, all of a sudden you're now exposed to the world. And that takes a lot of courage, because especially these days, because there's so much bite back with social media. Right. So yeah. You have to be very careful. So but when you do this, how do you know when you, like I'm saying, so what gives you that courage, and how do you know when you feel like it's okay to do this?
Well, thanks for saying it that way, because I don't never really thought of it as courageous, but because it's easy for me, only at that, I don't say easy, but it's never easy putting all your emotion out there, for sure. But I think the way my brain is able to tackle it with some kind of somewhat ease is that it's because, first of all, it's a fiction book. And then I get to hide behind the characters, so to speak. So, you know, I'm basically not necessarily portraying it as myself, even though obviously, like you said, that there's, you know, you're in like every character and it comes from me. But I think my brain's able to like say, you know, I could always just easily deny and say, listen, I'm just writing a character and I'm just writing a story. So, you know, hey, whatever. So there's that. But there are times where it's really hard for me to, like, you know, get some of that emotion out and put that on paper. And so there is some difficulty there, but overall I'm able just to say, hey, it's a character. So it's easy to kind of get behind that.
I've wondered too, with the paranormal, I've, you know, done my own research and been interested in it. And I was just wondering, do you take great pains to utilize like the research, or do you use a lot of like artistic license when you're creating a story that has paranormal elements in it?
Both. I used to I used for a while when I was in Texas, I did run what I called my little paranormal group. So we would go and investigate and do some stuff. And so I, you know, I have, you know, researched a lot of that stuff and as far as how to investigate it and, you know, I've done my own personal research, like with the tarot and so forth. So, but I also do take my creative liberties because I have to, I'm a writer. And so, and, you know, sometimes like, the reality isn't that interesting. So of course you have to indulge and make it more interesting. So I have to take those liberties sometime.
So you're lying.
Right. We call it fiction.
No, I had, because I had someone say that to me years ago, and they said, you know, they said to me this, what did they say exactly? They said, boy, you sure are brave putting yourself out there like that. And I just sort of laughed it off. Kind of, in a way, I had the same opinion as you. And later on, when I became a little bit more noticed, a little bit more popular. Wow. The nutballs and the things that I get called and said things to all the time.
Oh gosh.
You would just die if I showed you my email list. And
really?
And the thing is, then that what that person said to me, it hits me now and it never hit me back then. I just thought, well, that's funny. You know, nobody's going to say anything. So it is something that will come back at you, and I'm not trying to scare you.
Oh, no, yeah.
But I'm saying it's because you have to put some stuff in there that's real, something that comes from you, that
right.
it does expose that to people that you don't even know.
True, that's true. And, yeah, I agree with you on that. And there are times where, you know, even if it's not something that's true or just, you know, you kind of, even though I have a character that's going to say something, I think, like, am I really going to write this down? Because this might be a little bit too far, even though I can, you know, try and hide behind a character. Should I really write this? Yeah. And fortunately, I have an author friend that I bounce, and he's like, yeah, do it. And so.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Yeah, do it. Go for it. Right? But he's not there when you're getting this the heat, right?
Exactly. Exactly. But that's all I needed to hear, though. So, I go ahead and do it anyway.
Well, yeah, I know. Well, it's just interesting to see where the process is in someone's head when they're writing and what they think about. And I think it's okay. I think as long as you can keep that innocence in your mind and you can just write and kind of put it out there, I think that's great, because it's when you focus on the outside noise that things can fall apart, right? Because you start, you know, you no longer are focused on what you're writing. You're focused on trying to get into some sort of response with this. I mean, I used to do that the first a couple of years ago. I've been pretty good lately.
Right. Well, yeah, I understand. I've done that too. Like, where, you know, I'm like, am I really going to put this out there? Am I really going to, you know, do this? And cause you know, some people are going to, yeah, say stuff and maybe not like it. And so, yeah, that's always a little bit scary. I always feel like, you know, every time I release a book, it should be like, you know, like the Dr. Frankenstein, it's alive. Yeah. That's what I should, you know, cause yeah.
Do you like those old horror classics? Do you like the old
I do. Writers? I do. Yeah. I'm a big fan of all that stuff. Yes. I'm huge. And yeah, I like all that stuff. I like to watch it.
Yeah. I kind of thought so because I noticed one of your books, Meet Frankenseed. What is that? I was thinking, but the, you know, it's like, holy cow. There's the guy on the cover is not Frankenseed.
Yes. I'm a huge Night Stalker, Kolchak, the Night Stalker fan. I used to like Creature from the Black Lagoon. And I used to watch all those old movies, and I'm a fan of all those, and even the sci-fi ones. And yeah, so yeah, so of course, you know, that book series, I try and ham it up. It's total, you know, not to be taken seriously at all, and it's a complete filth and porn, and it's erotica, and so yeah, but it's a lot of fun to write, and it's I have to yeah. Tongue in cheek, and instead of meet Dr. Frankenstein, to meet Dr. Frankenseed. So, yeah.
Well, and, you know, I don't know if, you know, that should be made into a movie, and then Sven Gulli can put her on.
It could be made into a porn movie, which is really funny because there are a couple of porns that I like a lot that really, they have actually some halfway decent plot ideas. And so it's actually kind of, those are kind of my funny favorites, and so that's kind of what I had when I wrote this the Hard Boy series. So yeah. Hard Boys. Yes,
you see I was gonna say so what I've learned so far about Ian is he watches porn and horror movies, and he ends up writing Frankenseed. So it's Hard Boys. Absolutely. Series.
Absolutely. Wow. Yeah. I totally watch porn. I will admit it. I'm not too shy. Yes, I'll tell people that I do.
Well, so does David, right? He's big time.
Well, of course. No. I meant to say no.
Yeah, we know what's going on. We know what's going on.
And I do put little Easter eggs and actually in all my writing. But so I have the Nexus series, which of course is like urban fantasy and not the porn erotica, but there are mentions of the Hard Boys in that, and vice versa. There's Hard Boys come from Ravencrest, which is the city and the make believe town in the Nexus. So there's, I put little tie-ins in case anybody happens to read both my works, then they can find some, you know, nice little tie-ins.
Harbor, is that near Atlantis, where Wonder Woman's from?
I believe so. Yeah.
Well. Wow, we had a writer that dresses up like her, so I, you know,
Wonder Woman.
Yeah,
okay.
He's a teacher, so there you go. I just all of a sudden leaving it at right. That.
That's cool. That's yeah, fine.
That could be a story.
I'm sure there's probably a lot of stories there.
Yeah. So the Nexus, what is the Nexus in your series? Like, what does that mean?
It is the realm between death, the real world, and then the afterlife. So it's kind of where all the magic originates and is stored there. So you have to pass through the Nexus to get to the afterlife. And in the series, that's been sealed. And so what's happening to the dead souls? And what's happening to magic? That's why I explained that magic has left our world today, is because it's been sealed off, you know, and it's been slowly trickled. That's why, you know, back in the medieval times, they had, you know, more talk about, you know, fairies and all that kind of stuff. And it's because the magic slowly bled away from the real world. And there's going to be repercussions for that. And so that's what the series is really about, is unleashing magic back in the world, and should it. So.
Yeah. And you spell it the magic way with the K, C-K, right?
Correct.
Right. So you're talking about the same magic as Hillary Clinton when she cooks babies.
I didn't get that recipe book from her.
Well, I just saw that in the news before, right? Because she was cooking babies and eating it in a pizza shop, right? And so she was doing that to get the magic from them.
And they spelled it like that. So,
did they really?
Oh, wow. Yeah, so that's why I was curious. I thought, well,
oh, geez. Yeah, no, I missed that. I think, you just ruined my series now because now you're going to Hillary Clinton eating babies. And I'm going to start thinking about that. I might have to mention something in that.
That'll be for an update. So when we go into Nexus, your characters, where do they come from?
A lot of my characters, obviously they're all going to have a little bit of me in there, but I do like to do a rough character in my, the caricature in my head where, you know, I either take them from maybe, a movie I've seen or some kind of book or something, but like, I know I have the Sisters Grimm, which are like my favorite to write in that, and they're actually the fan favorite so far of that book series. When I thought of them, I kind of thought about the Sanderson sisters, but meet the Golden Girls. So, I'll just get my characters just from, you know, however, first of all, wherever the story dictates, you know, I'll just take it from there and kind of build and add characters in as I'm progressing with the plot. And so my characters come from all over. I mean, I don't really try and base them off anybody I've personally met, because I don't want anybody to get ticked off, but I definitely have plenty of personalities I could, you know, choose from. I worked in the medical field I still work in it for 27 years, but I don't work in clinic anymore, but I've dealt with, you know, thousands of patients, and so there's all kinds of, you know, characters I can
I can imagine. I could because you know, right from when you were young, you were taking these toys, and you're creating really a character for each of these toys, how they would behave.
Right.
So you've been doing that. But I just wonder if it's so when you decide you're doing the Nexus and you're developing characters, I just wonder if it's, someone you see at a coffee shop or someone you did work with or someone that may be the seed of it.
I know what you're saying, and we'll start with a real person. Like I said, I try not to do that. I guess I will try and start with, first of all, you know, like, okay, I have to have my main character and I know he's going to be a kid or, you know, that. And then as I start injecting characters into the, you know, you have to have his mom, but then maybe I'm going to fashion her kind of like this. And, it could come from really, I don't know, just, maybe somebody from my life, you know, I guess, and there can be some, but I just, of course, change their personality and then maybe think of them, try and put a face to them. Then I'll try and think of maybe somebody I saw in a movie or something just to help me, you know, round it out in my head a little bit better. And then kind of go from there, not that I trying to copy characters off TV or anything like that. That's just kind of gives me a rough sketch, I guess is the best way to put it. So
if, you use your theater and acting background when kind of developing backstory. Do you use any of that experience?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I do that a lot. And I'll sit here and James is, you know, unfortunately seeing me do this where I'll be writing and I'm, you know, actually going through the motions or I'm making these weird faces. And he's just like, what's going on? What's happening? And I'm like, oh, I'm putting myself in the character at the moment and I'm trying to figure out how they're.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Rebag, your premier destination for luxury resale. Elevate your style with our curated collection of bags, watches, and fine jewelry. At Rebag, quality is our priority. Each piece meticulously vetted and verified by experts, ensuring your investment is nothing short of perfection. Buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermes, Chanel, and Cartier. Access expertly crafted and hard-to-find pieces that redefine luxury. Your next investment awaits at Rebag. Get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's 10% off the luxury you deserve. Don't miss out. Head to Rebag.com and enter code REBAG10 at checkout. That's REBAG10.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
You know, reacting, and I'm trying to, you know, paint that so I can write it down well, or, and yeah, so I probably look like a wacko when I'm writing. And so, yeah, so I definitely used a lot of my theater and acting background for that, and trying to develop their backstory.
You're on Grindr trying to figure out how that works. That's, you know, it makes me.
Sweat left.
Yeah. Sweat left. So, wow.
Or is it right?
But how is that's
oh,
why
no. You know, that was even before me, so luckily I never had to do a sweat left right. So that was good old, like, manhunt days online in the AOL rooms.
But your characters through a series, like, how did you. This is always seems really strange to me. I mean, I'm always way nonfiction and things like that, true crime
stuff. Gotcha.
So I kind of know about the person. You find out about the person, you know where they're going, you know what happens, and you kind of put it together. But with yours, so when you write the first book in a series like Nexus, and you have characters and stuff, how do you continue them on? Like, and I mean, so in the next book in the series, something happens to some of these characters and new characters come in, of course. Do you have characters from the original that return later? Or do you just bring people in all out of the blue?
I try not to do out of the blue all the time. I try to keep, you know, like, I kind of think of it in my head like a series on TV. And so you have your core group of characters there, and I try to build on their stories as I go along through the series, and I try and tackle it that way. I do inject and add more characters, sure, but I try to keep my head thinking about the main characters, and I have to really keep on the Nexus, because because I actually did the audiobook for that one, and so I wrote down, I think I had something like 80-something speaking parts in that. It was 60 or 80. It was something ridiculous number. So there's like a lot of, so definitely I have a lot of characters. So it is tough trying to keep, you know, track of that. So I definitely had to write a character list, and I have to do that. And, but I'll add in characters but I try to stick with the main core of it, like I said, and try and build from there. And I just think of it like a TV series where you have the same usual cast of characters, and then you just, maybe you find out something new about them or, you know, there's something else that, you know, somebody is introduced, like in the second book, you know, Joe, who runs the coffee shop, and he's my Native American, you know, character, or whatever they call them now. I can never, you know, keep track of that. First Nations. I don't know. I even mentioned that in the book because that's my cop out. Like, I don't know. So I just make light of it. And I make that one of my characters just doesn't know what to call them because I don't know what to call them. So anyhow, so his son comes in the second book. And so there's a brief, you know, he comes in briefly. And so, so there is some additional characters I will throw in here and there, I don't know if I answered your question.
Yeah, yeah, it's just getting the process out of you. I mean, so I'm going to copy it all and write my own book.
Good luck copying my babble.
Yeah. Well, no, hey, so what do the characters mean to you? And I say that because there's a lot, I've asked a lot of writers, and some say it's like their children. It's like, I hear all sorts of answers. So what are your characters to you?
That's a good question. I don't know how to put that. I mean, I don't think it was my kids. I just, you know, you have to care about all the characters. I'd say that you have to care about them all because that makes them more real and for the reader, and it makes it better to give them some kind of, you know, depth, even no matter how minor they might be. So, and they're definitely my creation, you know, so I don't know if I would, you know, I guess I think of them as like a kid, but I mean, I had, you know, I actually, in the second book, I had to kill off one character that I didn't actually see that coming. It just kind of happened in one of those moments where I'm like, oh my gosh, am I really going to take the book this way? Am I going to do this? And I was really sad about it, which I never thought I would actually be sad about killing, like, because I killed plenty of characters before, but you know, I had developed their relationship really well. And so I thought, so yeah, you care about them. And, but I mean, I don't know how else to phrase it other than, yeah, well, I mean.
Phrase it how you feel. That's, I just, you know, because some, like I said, I get all sorts of answers on that one. And like in David here, he hears voices in his head, so.
I do. Oh. So. I transcribe them.
Have you started naming them? Do they have names? That's
the, oh, they all have names.
Oh, do
many,
they?
Many names.
I tell him he needs to see someone about this, right? They start telling you.
Preferably not the one. Hopefully not one of the people in his head. He's not going to go see.
Yeah.
Well, that's exactly it.
He's driving down the road, going to run over someone because this voice told him, right? I mean, it starts to get serious here. Okay? I mean, of course, people are getting hurt.
Well, I always say that I have to, you know, I can't really put on too much music or anything because it drowns out those voices. but you know, the thing is, I hear like the rhythm of the language. Do you have, is it the same for you? Can you listen to music while you're writing?
I can. Yeah. I like to, I can have some music on in the background. Yeah. I'll have, usually I do good with like, score kind of music. That's,
yeah.
Yeah. So that I can write with that in the background.
Yeah, I like the chaos. I love chaos. My dog's running around, and I've got the TV. And I put old shows on. I've got one TV running with YouTube, and it's got, you know, it'll have old shows on there and old movies, and then I've got music going, and then I'm writing.
No, okay, well that works.
I've got
the TV on the background, so.
But the chaos puts me in a almost a stressed mood. The anxiety in itself is creative for me.
Okay. So you like to write under stress then?
Yeah. I think I feel the anxiety, and so it makes me, you know, I'm writing about killers. Come on.
Well, okay. Yeah. I guess that would definitely put you in the mood for that, I suppose.
it's not very romantic.
No.
Do you ever kill off characters or people you really know?
Oh gosh! really? No.
Well, you know what I mean. Or when who did who was that? He's a J.D. Horn, and he's a big time writer, and he says that, you know, he'll be out and someone will cut him off, or he'll be in a store and something will, you know, someone's rude, he'll make that person into a character that he's going to kill off.
I like that idea. I might try that next time.
Yeah. I mean, everybody shares. I think that's great. I'm just wondering if, you know, because what it does, I guess, it puts a face on someone that's doing something, and it's really the something that they're doing that he wants to kill off, I guess.
Sure.
Right.
I mean, I could think of, you know, cases where, yeah, there were people I wanted to kill off, and I never thought about making them one of my characters, though. I should do that on my next one. That might be better.
the next baby magic killing, you know.
I'll have Hillary, you know, off one of my characters and put her in a pie or something or whatever.
Yeah, yeah. Her eyes looking out.
Yes.
Yeah. alien abduction. So you've also got that in, involved in your. So you kind of, you're making light of a lot of those in the Hard Boy series, right?
Yes. Yeah.
What did you want people to get out of that? Like, what were you, like, what were you, like, no, I mean that because you're putting together not just one book, but a series. And I guess, yeah, okay, so there's the straightforward story, or, and you said it's kind of, you know, Frankenseed and Alien. You kind of got some adult right. entertainment going on here.
Sure.
But was there something else you wanted out of that series that people to get?
You know, because I had kind of had toyed with the idea of, you know, writing some erotica, but, you know, and I was I'm a lot of Facebook groups, and a lot of people that write, they do write some of this kind of, you know, they put a lot of sex in there and they have paranormal stuff, but it's all dark and it's good. Don't, you know, get me wrong. But everything they have is, first of all, it's about vampires or werewolves, and it's all dark and, you know, bunch of blood and, you know, tragedy stuff, you know, so it's all this sex and tragedy, you know, mixed together and paranormal. And I thought, well, wouldn't it be, you know, I'm the type of person, I don't want to try and write something just to jump on the bandwagon. I will write something if I think I can contribute or make it different or make it interesting. And so I thought, well, all these people are writing all this paranormal, you know, kind of sex stuff, but it's all dark and, you know, kind of, you know, tragic. Does anybody just write something that's just fun? Just like, you know, these guys go out and investigate the paranormal and get laid. And I thought, hey, I'll write it. So, that's what really kind of was my idea. It's like, well, let's just have some kind of fun where, you know, guys go out and investigate the paranormal. So I have kind of a Scooby-Doo kind of tone to it. And it's just, you know, it's just something you can read and know that, you know, nobody's going to get killed. And nobody's going to get, you know, a bunch of blood and, you know, tore up or anything like that. It's just going to be, you know, alien and paranormal and crazy fun and, you know, a bunch of sex. And there's going to be a storyline in there, too. So it keeps, you know, the action going.
Scooby-Doo, we just had someone on that was influenced. Who was your, which character do you want to be? Veronica? Oh, that joke just does not work for me. I'm not going to use it anymore. I'm done. Now, okay, Nexus.
Yeah.
So someone picks up Nexus, and what is it you want them to get out of that book?
The first book. So I my theme with that book is really I wanted to explain really a lot about the holidays and, you know, how they've come back to, because there's a lot of explanation of, I wanted to explain how the holidays came about. And so I put that in, you know, like, you know, people call it Samhain, but it's Samhain and the real history of that. And like, you know, Christmas or Yule. And, you know, one of my pet peeves is when people say Jesus is the reason for the season. It's like, no, that's not true. Get me going. It's like, Jesus is the reason for the propaganda, but I'm getting started. Yeah. Anyhow, so I thought, you know, and I can do it because there's a lot of, you know, Celtic and backstory and with history. And then there's a lot of kind of, I guess, you know, old world magic in these holidays and that stuff and the traditions and how they came about and, you know, old time beliefs and that were, you know, were superstitious. And so that just kind of seemed to fit my theme of, you know, writing about, you know, paranormal or supernatural stuff. And so I thought, well, I just kind of explain, and of course, you know, taking liberties, nothing's not, you know, accurately historically, but kind of really explain some of the real world origins of the holidays. Because a lot of books, you know, when they do, like, you know, Harry Potter, like, they will have something, and she'll mention something about them at Halloween, and it's only, like, a brief, you know, note about it. And there's no great focus on that. So I thought, well, I just focus kind of on the holidays during, and at the same time, this book series is going to be four books, and it's centered, of course, around Max, who's, you know, just moved to a new town and has a birthday. And so I'm going to, I remember, you know, a year being like, you know, a long, long time when I was a kid. So basically every book is going to represent a season and explain the holiday with those seasons, and so everything's going to kind of come full circle. So really the whole book is going to take place within a year of Max moving to Ravencrest. And so I start with fall, which is Halloween, my favorite holiday, and then of course went into winter, which is Yule. So, and then I'll continue on with that. But that was really, I really wanted to get across, was, you know, explaining some historical act, put some real historical perspective on the holidays and where they came from.
And so Max is a young kid at the beginning.
Yes.
So Max, who is that? Who would you describe Max as?
Well, there's a lot of me of him when he was a kid, you know. There's a coming of age story in there, and you know, he doesn't know he's gay, and he will deny that too, and that, I didn't figure it out until I was like 23. There's a lot of him. Yeah, there's a lot of me and him growing in that story, and he's, of course, I make him a little bit more complicated than that. So, well, can't give it away completely, but
give it away. Well, I was interested in the character of Max, so a lot of it comes from yourself. So again, you're mm-hmm. kind of exposing yourself to the world.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially with him, I say that, but then I know some stuff about him, so I'm like, well, maybe not that part, but so, <Yeah. laughs> but again, I can't give it away. But anyhow, but he's got a lot of he's got a lot of figuring out and stuff to do. And in the story, he's, you know, his parents have gone through a divorce, and my parents are still together, so that part's not true at all. But and then his mother blames him for the divorce, and so that's part of his baggage. But then there's more to that, and that so he's mm-hmm. He's a kind of a tragic character, but not so. He's got some depth to him, we'll say that.
Yeah. Ravencrest. Now, do you write that location as a character?
You know what? That's a good question. And now that you say it, yeah, I do kind of think of it like that. I do think of it as a place that's maybe got its own little personality, and the people in the town contribute to that. And I made it Ravencrest, Vermont. I'm a fictitious, you know, town.
Yeah, Mayberry RFD.
Yes, yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Barney Fife.
Yeah. I do so have one of those, I think, in there.
There's nothing wrong with that. What's next for you? So where are you going to go? Are you going to do more in this series? I think you've got two out now, right?
I have two out, yeah, and so I have two more to write. So that'll be... Yeah, quite, you know, fun to get done. So I'm working on something right now that I'm trying to get out of the way. Out of the way, I say that. But as soon as I'm finished with that, then I'll get back to the Nexus. So, it'll be in. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, are you ever going to change what you write, like this sort of style that you're writing? You're kind of in this sci-fi or you say urban fantasy sort of thing. Do you ever think you'll go into another style of writing?
I do, in that I will. I'm already exploring one of the things I'm going to do, and I'll do it under a pen name. But I'm going to try something and I have this idea, so I'll throw it at you. But I'm going to try and write something along the steampunk genre.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. It all seems so alien to me. No pun intended.
Not alien abduction to you, but alien.
Yeah. You know, I just don't know, you know, when people write with characters and stuff that they create, it just seems so distant. I don't know. I don't know if I could ever do that.
Okay. All right. Well, you know, I mean, I guess you have to, when you, because you write about real stuff. So I guess in a way, you have to, you put yourself in that personality of, I guess, whoever.
Yeah, I go to meet the killer, and I go to meet the survivors, and I go to meet all of the players, the cops, the doctors, whoever.
Sure.
And then I kind of go from there. And
sure. And I mean, that's kind of what you do when you're writing fiction characters too. So you kind of get an idea of what kind of person I might need a cop, and then maybe you can think of like that experience, and you just kind of, you know, some of the cops you met, and kind of, you know, meld them or mold them from there.
Oh, dude, I don't want to talk about that. That's a different type of book when I start talking about the men in uniform. Yeah. Well, you know, can't keep my mind out of the gutter then. That's my gutter the gutter series.
There you go. You
call pen name Anita Man. Yeah.
The hard boys meet the gutter boys. There you go.
Crossover.
Yeah.
Yes. I'm all about that.
Yeah. Assume the position. I'll tell you, I'm just going to hell fast here. So let's talk about your website and stuff. Do you have a website? Do you have a place people can come and find you and send you love letters?
Absolutely. It's just my name. It's iancadena.com.
Great. And we'll put that up on our website as well so people can find you easy and stuff like that. And Grindr or anything like that?
No, Grindr. I am on Twitter, but I don't get on there very too often. I have a Facebook page, and I have the links on my website. So,
So your fans out there, sorry, you know. Sorry about that. Yeah. Did you notice that during the pandemic or the last year and a bit, you know, there's a lot of crazy stuff going on, and you know, just it seems like everything's out of control and wacko. Does that affect your writing?
No, it doesn't. I always thought I was like built for this pandemic because I never liked big crowds to begin with, and it would always irritate me when, you know, you go into a restaurant and, you know, there's one table there, and then there's, you know, like they sit us at a table and there's like all these other tables and they got to sit somebody right next to you. I know they do that for their servers and stuff, but that drove me nuts to begin with. Or, you know, when you're at the gym and there's 20, you know, treadmills literally open and the person's got to come and get right next to me on the treadmill. Like, you know, I wanted everybody to social distance from me, you know, ages ago. So it hasn't affected me that much as far as my writing, and I usually stay home most of the time anyhow, and so I've done great.
I mean, you know, you hate people, we know.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, I mean, as long as they stay away from me, I'm okay.
Yeah. No, it's the same thing when you park way out in the park in a parking lot so that no one parks beside you, and you come back and there's like three people parked beside
you. Yep. They do that at the gym too. Drives me crazy. Anyhow.
Well, I've never been to a gym. I would. If I was at a gym, I wouldn't leave the showers. Oh. Boy, see, I told you, I'm Satan. So what's your favorite thing to watch? Or do you like watching movies and horror movies? And if you do, or sci-fi, do you like watching the old ones, or do you like modern ones?
I like most of the old ones. Modern, I mean, and I'd say modern, you know, maybe, you know,
well, you know,
20 years ago, too. I mean, lately, like most of the stuff that comes out, you know, it's just, you know, they're all like a formula rehash, and it's more like, you know, they got to, you know, build out a PC list as opposed to a story first. But, and like the horror now, like most of it's all just gore, you know, no story or anything. So, I'm not a fan of that. Because like my biggest pet peeve, like with the horror movies, and they start off with a quick, you know, horrific scene. Okay. And then it's just like, there's a soap opera. You know, you're like watching, you know, like something on the WB or whatever. And then that's like it's almost like, oh, that's right. We're doing a horror movie. The last 10 minutes, like, let's put more gore in here. And people just like, that's awesome. That's like the greatest horror movie ever. I'm like, are you kidding me? You know, at least, you know, like with the Jason movies and the Friday the 13th, you know, you got, you know, mayhem and murder all through, but you got some story too, along as you're going, they spread it out and throughout the show, you know, so those were all actually pretty good.
So Godzilla versus what's that? Have you seen the new Godzilla movie?
The new one that's like on the HBO Max or whatever. I haven't seen that one yet, but
yeah,
most terrible. Of the time, don't. I'm sure it is. I mean, they can never do Godzilla right. You know, it's more like, you know, Godzilla makes an appearance, you know, here and there. In most of the movies,
I think they focus too much on the graphic. Like, it's you know, their effects are so good and so
Right.
Mesmerizing, and that's what people are following. They don't need story. They don't want to.
Right. Everyone wants to watch a cartoon. Just like, you know, I just want to see all these cool graphics. And then, you know, maybe there's a story in there, but they don't. Yeah. Yeah. I agree. That drives me nuts. So I like more of the older stuff because I haven't seen anything recent that has piqued my interest as far as really good.
Well, you know, Sven Gulli's on tonight, so. Yeah. So do you like are you into the sci-fi, into the superheroes and all that stuff, or you just stay away from that?
No, I'm into all that. I was into superheroes a long time. Now I've actually, you know, have been saturated with I mean, I was like so thrilled when they first came out, the first, Tobey Maguire's Spider-Man, because I was a huge Spider-Man fan growing up, and I just loved the comics. And they have now successfully managed to, you know, make me sick of superheroes.
Yeah.
I mean, superhero saturation is just like, okay, I never thought I'd see the day that I'd be like, you know, I'm sick of that crap. But they did it.
Yeah. And, you know, I always get bothered. I'm just a weirdo because I'm still mad at Wonder Woman, you know, and how she has an accent when she's old, but not when she's a kid, when they do the flashbacks.
Yeah.
That bothers me, and it shouldn't, right? That's silly. But,
well, you know, I mean, I get really annoyed because they can never do the Spidey sense right in any of the movies. They never get it right. They get it right maybe for like one scene and that's it. And then the rest, it's like, you know, it's not there. And it drives me crazy.
Is that like blue ball Spidey sense?
No. But, just a little that's the Spidey tingle. That's what you're saying.
My Spidey senses are tingling. That's what he means. Yeah. Now I understand what he's trying to say there. I'm getting that. Now I know.
Peter Tingle.
The Peter Tingle, yes. And I will say that I do like the new ones with Tom Holland, though. I have enjoyed those. Well, I can still find stuff wrong with it, but anyway, I'll overall I enjoy it though.
Yeah. Well, you know.
But most of the superhero stuff I'm just over now, so you know.
Yeah, too much.
Yeah.
Way too much. But anyway. Well, it's been a great time. Thank you for being on the show. Our guest
for having me.
Is the one and only writer of Frankenseed. And the Nexus, of course, but you know, Frankenseed is the one you want.
Okay? That's the second one. Alien Abduction is actually the first one in that series. So
yeah, but I want to get right to the seed.
Okay, go for it. Yeah, well, that's your prerogative. Go for
yeah,
it.
I'm an adult here. I'm 59. I need seed. You know, the time.
I don't even know what to say to follow up to that. That's,
well,
that's
the time of making things wait is just I don't have the time. Okay. 20 years, I'm going to be drooling in an old age home. So come on.
Just think, the next time somebody says they planted a seed, you're going to say, actually, they planted a Frankenseed.
They did. And they're going to do it again. So our guest, Ian Cadena, Texas man now in New York. Thank you for being here.
Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
Thanks, Ian.
To find out more about our show, guests, or to listen to past shows from our archive, please go to www.houseofmysteryradio.com.
The mission has been completed.
The end! By George, he's got it! It is the end!
I'll say it.
If you're lying to me, I'll be back.
This has been a production of Something Weird Media.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
You've been listening to the House of Mystery radio show. To find out more about our guests, hosts, or shows, go to www.houseofmystery.com.
Show's over for now.
Was it as good for you as it was for me?
Well, good night.
This has been a production of Something Weird Media.
I'll be back.